This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to a special episode of The Kim Baker Show on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 26th, episode 1050. I remember last time I screwed up my number, so this one was easier.
I think you got some sleep last night.
That's right. I did. Sleep was wonderful. This episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you joining us here on the day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We hope that you have a wonderful day with your families and your horses and your doggies and your kitties and the whole gang. And we hope you have a wonderful time stuffing yourself entirely full. That's my plan for tomorrow. And I'm sure it's everybody's out there, but give your horses all a pet for us as well. And we, you know, Kim is here. We want to welcome Kim back. She's here usually the fourth Thursday of every month, but that is Thanksgiving, and we will not have a show tomorrow. So that we won't have a show tomorrow, and we'll have a replay of the holiday buying guide that we did earlier in the month on Friday, because it is Black Friday. We thought that was appropriate, so we will have that for you on Friday. Welcome back a day early here, Kim.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. And yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's definitely a time to, I think, you know, really dive in and really think about what you're grateful for. And it's something that I do every day. I give thanks for all that I have and all that I'm receiving. But the actual day of Thanksgiving is for family and friends and, of course, our furry loved ones and stuff like that. So I wish you all a wonderful and beautiful happy Thanksgiving.
And I know a lot of you have snow for Thanksgiving, so enjoy that as well. I'm glad we don't. Just wanted to throw that.
I was going to say, do you want it to snow in Florida?
No, I'm glad we don't. That's why I just wanted to throw that in. Jennifer, we have a packed show today. What's coming up?
On today's show, we've got our monthly reading, always looked forward to by all of our listeners, and that's going to be with Nikki and her horse, Aaron. And Dr. Tiffany Morgolin talks about what holistic care for pets really means. You might be surprised. And Sandra Biskind is going to come by, and she will be enlightening us on the power of gratitude and the personal transformation and 5 minutes to happiness. Who couldn't use that? So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And we're going to get started with what we always do when Kim is here, and that's the medicine cards. But I have to tell you that some of our listeners are confused about what they even are, so we might need more of an explanation this time.
Sure. Okay, so medicine cards. They are based on Native American teachings. They're like tarot cards. So if you have a problem, let's say you're having issue with your significant other, you guys are fighting all the time, or the other person's just pissing you off, or whatever might be going on, you can consult this deck of cards. So what you'll do is you would shuffle the cards, and then you'll say, I need guidance on this issue with my significant other. I need some assistance. And, you know, what can I do to alleviate the frustration that's going on, or whatever the case might be? Or maybe you're having troubles with your boss or something like that. Or you need help with a problem that you want to know, am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing in my life? You can ask these cards any question that you want. And then you shuffle them, and then you're going to spread them out, and then you're going to grab a card. And whatever card you grab, so I just did that, and I grabbed the frog. then you consult the book. And as I've mentioned before, in the past, depending on which direction the card is facing, so if it's right side up or if it's right side down, it has different meanings.
You need some advice from that deck of cards about
on what to do
cat.
With your cat. I can give you some advice.
So my cat JD is in my lap getting smacked in the face by the pages of the book, and apparently you need some assistant, huh, JD? So the card that I pulled is frog, and frog represents cleansing. So they tell you, and I don't read the whole thing because it would take too long, but they give you a little story about what the Native Americans felt that the animals could teach them based on how they are. So you just read it and you see what resonates with you. And you sit there and you think about it, and it's like, well, does that make sense for my particular situation or whatever the question was that you asked? And oftentimes it will resonate with you. Other times you'll be like, what the, it doesn't make any sense. So you might need to read it a couple of times or just think about it and be like, can I, you know, assess that or use that somehow? Use that. So frog talks about, so let's go through this. So frog medicine person can clean negativity from any environment. Many mediums or clairvoyants who work with the cleaning of haunted houses carry frog medicine. Many of the world's seers use water on their hands when tapping into other realms of reality due to water's superconductive nature. In Mayan and Aztec shamanistic practices, the shaman places water in his or her mouth and sprays it over the body of the patient to clear away negative energy. This is done while holding the thought of frog firmly in the mind so that the healing may occur and the patient may be replenished with positive energy. Sometimes dried and stuffed frogs, ew, gross, are also used to guard the person's body during the session. Frog speaks of new life and harmony through its rain song. The deep tones of frog's ribbit are said to be the call of thunder beings, thunder, lightning, and rain. The ribbit is the heartbeat that comes into harmony with Father Sky and calls for the replenishment needed. Call for frog and find peace and the joy of taking time to give to yourself. That's a big one. None of it. We're all so busy, we very rarely take time for ourselves. A part of this giving is cleansing yourself of any person, place, or thing that does not contribute to your new state of serenity and replenishment. So oftentimes we'll talk about in spiritual work that as you're ascending or climbing on your spiritual path, that there are people in your life that no longer serve you. And that can be really challenging if they're a family member or your significant other. And so in this instance, you could call upon frog to help cleanse what no longer serves you and give you some clarity and guidance as to how you would move forward with that.
Well, you know, if dried frogs are a good thing, we are, our house is fine because we find dried frogs outside all the time.
So yes.
And, all over the place.
And this does apply to cats.
Yes.
This is so, how this is going to work.
That, yeah,
because
so
when your cat chomps onto a frog, you know what happens? He immediately throws that frog right back up, completely cleansing his digestive system.
That's right.
Right on your kitchen
that's
floor.
True. That's true. Oh, that works for dogs, too, because one of my dogs got a frog, got a toad, and same thing. He started frothing at the mouth. He's like, ew, that thing tastes terrible.
There you go. So frog
there you go.
Will help you with your cat problems.
Frogs are great, actually. I love the sound of them too. Here in Colorado, after it rains in the summertime, it's very peaceful and meditative to hear their song, especially in the evening. So I'm sure you guys have lots of frogs.
Yes,
in
yeah, tons
we
of
call
frogs,
it the Frog Channel.
Any given night, you look at our sliding glass door, and there's 50 of them attached to the outside.
Yep.
So yeah, that's something we have a lot of.
Frog Channel.
It's good stuff. So I hope that helps clarify a little bit more about the power of the medicine cards and this. And really all it is learning more about the animals and how they can help you in your life. So it's like, can I be more like a particular animal and use that, quote, power, so to speak, in my life to help me through a tough situation or help solve a problem?
Very good. And now the inspirational message for this month.
The inspirational message for this month is reality. We must have strong minds ready to accept facts as they are. This is by Harry S. Truman.
Hmm. Isn't that fun? Interesting?
That is interesting.
Especially from Harry Truman.
I just grabbed the book and opened it up, and that's what it came to. And I was about to change the page, but I thought, no, this is what I opened to. So here we go. As far as strong minds, we all have strong minds. I think sometimes we get a little numb or tuned out based on our society, just how things are going. So maybe this is a reminder that we're all strong and powerful within ourselves.
I think that's especially true, actually, for horse people. We tend to be a little more strong-mindedness or stubborn, either way. But I think that tends to be true with horse people, at least the ones I've known.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Very, very strong, very opinionated.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you're going to do your adoptable horse, but we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show, because first we have to talk to one of our listeners and do our animal reading for this month. And we're going to get on the line here. She's a regular listener to the show. Her name is Nikki. And we're going to get her on to do a reading on one of her horses. So let's get her on now, and then we'll find out a little bit more. Well, hi, Nikki. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you and Kim get started here with your reading. So tell us about what horse and all that stuff.
Okay, so I talked with Nikki's horse, Erin. She's a 14-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred, and she lives in New Jersey. And I got to tell you, Nikki, she was so cute. When I first connected to her, she was showing me, like, she was jumping up and down. She was, like, going around in circles, and she was kicking up her heels, and very playful, lots of energy, all that. I thought, oh, wow, you know, she's what a presence, what a horse. And so very cute, very sweet. And then we got right down to business. And so, you know, you had asked some questions, and I'm going to find those here. It was funny because your question that you asked was, what does my horse want me to know? And her response was, do you, meaning Nikki, mm-hmm. know how much she loves you?
Oh.
I thought that was really, really sweet. And then I went into your other questions, and you had asked, what does my horse want me to know? What does she like what she does? What does she like and dislike in general? Is there something that she would like to do that she hasn't done, or something she wants and does not have already? So to dive into all of that, this is interesting. She doesn't like how you, and I clarified if it was you or if it was one of the workers at the barn, and she said it was you, clean her stall and throw some of the savings outside into her run. Apparently she likes,
not
that
me.
Area.
I don't do the cleaning.
She likes that area right by the barn. You know, into her run. She likes it clean. Obviously, it's not dirt, but she likes it clean because she likes to lay down there.
Okay.
And she does like how you leave her hidden treats around her area for her to find.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was really interesting that you guys do that, which is really cool because it keeps her engaged. She likes mm-hmm. to be challenged. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as what you guys are doing, she said, the dressage is good, but it's not her favorite. She would like to try, and we kind of went through some options. So she was saying jumping, eventing, but what I really got is that she's very intrigued by obstacle courses.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just started taking her fox hunting. So that's
something
to like.
Yeah, so I think so anything that you can incorporate with that, she really, really likes. They fascinate her, she said.
Awesome.
So you've got lots of options, fox hunting, the eventing, jumping, you know, if you want to do, I think she likes being ridden, but you could also do, you know, the obstacle stuff from the ground as well,
mm-hmm.
Which might be good exercise in the wintertime when it's tougher to ride. She's in very good health and she's very happy. She said apples are her favorite treat. And she says, yes, she knows how much she is loved, and she feels like the luckiest horse on earth.
Oh, my host, I always ask him, like, yeah, I hope you know how much you are loved. Because she's a very lucky horse, because she was a very hard horse when I first got her. So, you know, I had a lot of, had to have a lot of patience. And, you know, she turned out to be one of my best friends. But it was a long, hard relationship between us both.
Well, it sounds like you guys have come a long way, because she didn't even allude to any of that. Oh. She just is like full. I mean, she really is. Like, it's not like she had a lot to nitpick or anything. I mean, just in those images that she sent me when I first connected with her, like jumping around and bounding. I mean, she is very, very happy. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you two for working together through your relationship. And look at where you're at now. It's beautiful.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Do you have any other follow-up questions? Or
I just want to make sure I'm doing everything right. Like I said, when I first got her, actually, she almost tried to kill me. I used to jump, and I didn't wear a flak jacket until I wore her and did dressage, which makes no sense. But she was so scared of being hurt because she's off the track, and whatever happened to her on the track really got her fried. And, you know, just, you know, I was like, oh, God, this horse hates me. Every day I was like, this horse hates me. I would cry, and I'd be like, oh, my God. And then finally I think something clicked. But I was just hoping it wasn't me projecting, that it was really, for real.
You know, I think Kim will back me up on this. I think when you, especially with the OTTBs, you're going to go through that period of transition. Mm-hmm. And then when the tougher horses finally do click, they bond more with the person. I think I've seen that more with the tougher horses. And then when the light bulb finally comes on, it's on and it's on. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times the ones that are kind of easy in the beginning are kind of just the same way the whole way through. You have that relationship, but it's not as deep as with the ones who challenge you at first and then click. I don't know. Have you found that, Kim?
Oh, absolutely. I think one, the challenged horses come to us for a reason. We have so much to learn from them as they want to learn from us. And absolutely, you know, it's about the journey together. And I think, you know, the trust was broken. And so it takes a long time to build that back. Even if you look at human relationships, somebody that's broken your trust, it takes a while for them to gain that back. And with the horses, it's like, oh, this person's listening to me. This person is working with me. And you start to replace those bad images with the good images. And they are. They are your best friend for life. And that's what's so awesome about horses, you know? To me, anyway. I love them.
Absolutely. How can you not?
Exactly. How can you not? But, you know, a lot of us don't have the patience, you know, to work through it. And I'm sure during your journey, you know, Nikki, you got frustrated at times, and we've all been there with the more challenging horses. But I think that you guys, if you don't mind, are a great example of you stick with it and you keep going and you keep listening to the horse. The horse will tell you exactly what they need, and you can really come out on the other end, and it's amazing when you do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at least took 3 years before we actually bonded, and people told me, get rid of her, you know, this is, you know, and I said, no, I believe in her, and it really has paid off, and I truly believe, like you said, Glenn, you know, it's kind of the rescues of the off-the-track thoroughbreds. Once you get their trust and their loyalty, it's like nothing else.
Now, if they don't kill you in the meantime,
they don't kill you in the meantime. Yeah, that's why the flak jacket and a flask. So
exactly. let's not challenge that trust before they're ready. Now, I got to ask you, though, I'm sure Jennifer's curious. How do you like in fox hunting?
I love it. In fact, it was your beautiful women, Helena and Sissy. Sissy, who introduced me to the Monmouth County Hunt. I had called, or I'd emailed them when they had the Fox Hunting Radio, which I know you have it now at Sable Scoop. But I said, look, I've always wanted to do it all my life. And they hooked me up, and I was actually on your show for my very first time at fox hunting. I got to go out on opening day, and it was just amazing. And
yay.
I am addicted.
Yay for you. Good. I'll let them know too.
Oh my God. They're awesome. Yeah. I mean, that was last year I talked to them. This year I'm doing it again on the winter season when I'm not competing. So I have the bug.
You know, when we started the network, one of the things we wanted to do was turn people on to new things and open their horizons a little bit, and look, it's working.
Yeah. Oh, you guys certainly have.
Good for you. Good for you and your OTTB. And thank you for doing that, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki. Thanks, Kim.
Appreciate
it. Great talking to you. Bye.
Same here. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And coming up next is our favorite expert, Tigger, with BioStar US, and she's going to be telling us how we need to feed our horses a school bus of good bacteria and our all-favorite shrooms. And here we are, another segment of our Ask the Expert with Tigger from BioStar US. Welcome, Tigger.
Hi, Kim.
So good to speak with you again. So this time of year, we all know it's cold and flu season for humans, but horses can get sick as well. So what would you recommend to support their immune system during the winter months?
Well, number one on my list would be probiotics. Because the health of the whole body system, and specifically the immune system, starts in the GI tract. So
okay.
Probiotics are really important because they help to crowd out the less desirable bacteria and pathogens, and they help to promote a non-immunologic gut defense barrier against the less desirable bacteria. So for me, wintertime is one of the best times to be supplementing with probiotics and making sure that they have a very high colony-forming unit. That means that they're active, and the range should be anywhere from 500 million to at least 100 billion per serving.
That's a lot, 100 billion per serving.
Yeah.
So is, that now,
is that the size of a school bus, or just curious?
They're pretty tiny, Glenn.
Okay, all right, good.
That's what we call them, microorganisms.
I was just thinking about how my little pony was going to eat a school bus-sized load of them, so I was curious about that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a trouble for a 17-hand horse.
Most serving sizes are going to be anywhere from a teaspoon to 2 or 3 teaspoons.
And Tigger, do for people that are looking at the products, like this will be on the label, right?
Yes. If it's an active probiotic, they have to, by law, put the CFU. Like when you buy yogurt, you look, when you're reading yogurt being a live culture, have to have the CFU. And, you know, yogurt is about 8 to 12 million CFUs. But the horse needs 100 billion CFUs minimum
wow.
for colonization.
What do humans need?
Well, it really depends on your GI tract. So if you've got some immune issues, you would probably want to go to 40 to 50 million, maybe even as much as 100 million.
Okay, so the yogurt's not going to supply that. What would supply it?
Oh, you can go to any health food store, and in the refrigerated section are the really high strain CFU probiotics.
Oh, okay. So we can shop for our school bus there.
Yes, and you'll be pleasantly surprised that it's only the size of a VW bug.
Oh, good. My pony could probably handle it.
Really super immune food is bovine colostrum. It provides over 80 different immune factors, including the immunoglobulins. And it contains these really amazing polypeptides. They're called PRPs. And they function as signaling molecules. They modulate the immune system. So let's say your horse breaks out in hives. Well, that means that the immune system is hyperstimulated. And these PRPs will regulate the thymus gland and lower the overstimulation and bring the thymus gland back to homeostasis. Likewise, if your horse has a virus, by giving bovine colostrum, it will kick the immune system into gear and make it more active.
So it doesn't matter what spectrum you're on. You could be overstimulated, you could be understimulated, and it helps balance it back out to be in the middle.
Correct. Okay, medicinal mushrooms, reishi, maitake, shiitake, turkey tail, cordyceps. Although we don't think of horses notching on fungi, They actually are eating fungi all the time because fungi are part of the whole soil microorganism network. So every time they're out on grass, they're getting a little fungi. Of course, they're not getting these particular fungi. And these specific mushrooms actually help in the production of interleukin 1 and interleukin 2 and the beta glucans. So they are immune supportive and anti-tumor.
Anti-tumor. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And reishi has got such an interesting story behind it because thousands of years ago, only the emperors in China could eat it. And if you were just a regular Chinese person and you were caught with a reishi mushroom, you were executed.
Oh,
fine. Because reishi was thought to bring longevity and long life to the emperor.
Well, these are some special shrooms we got going on here.
Yeah, but not the crazy kind.
Not the psychedelic.
They're probably legal in Colorado now, too.
Yeah, everything's being legalized here. Oh, speaking of that, it brings new meaning to the term potluck.
I'm going to have to remember that. The fourth food would be coconut oil.
Coconut oil, okay. What's special about that?
It's very rich in lauric acid, and that is something that the body converts to a substance called monolaurin. Monolaurin disrupts the outer covering of bacteria and protozoa and viruses. So it leaves those entities, protozoa, viruses, and bacteria, vulnerable to biological acids and the body's own immune system. It's a very amazing, amazing acid, this lauric acid. And the only other source on the planet other than coconut oil is mother's milk.
Mother's milk. Oh, okay. So this enables the bad bugs to be attacked by the immune system versus the other way, the bugs attacking the immune system.
Correct.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes, correct.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's really an amazing food. Everyone should, you know, humans, dogs, horses, coconut oil is a very good thing to add to the diet.
All right. And what
we have time for one more.
And one more would be my top adaptogenic plants, which are holy basil and ashwagandha. And these two plants have been used in Ayurvedic medicine for thousands of years. They help to stabilize the physiological processes in the body and bring the glandular and endocrine systems, so the hormones and glands, to homeostasis. They are very powerful in reducing cortisol. And, of course, anytime you're under stress, whether it's physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress, your cortisol elevates. And these
right.
two plants actually lower cortisol. One study from Sloan Kettering in New York in 2006 showed that ashwagandha brought it down by 32% in 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
huge.
These plants are amazing.
And what were they
I'm
again?
Kidding.
Excuse me?
What were they again?
Holy basil and ashwagandha.
Okay.
It does sound like a capital in Africa, but it isn't.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it does, actually.
So, Tigger, do you have, I know you have the colostrum, the bovine colostrum for the horses. Do you have all these products available through BioStar US?
We do. Our medicinal mushrooms are in a formula called True Balance. Our coconut
okay.
oil is in several products, but if you're going to use it therapeutically, it's just best to go to the health food store and get, you know, organic coconut oil. That's probably the best way to take it for humans and dogs and horses. And the adaptogenic
okay.
plant, holy basil, is in our True Balance formula with the mushroom, and ashwagandha is in our formula Equilibrium. Optimum is named because it's the most food you can get into a serving for horses. So all the nutrients, because we use whole foods, we get the most of all the nutrients from the food into a serving, and that's what we call it optimum.
Well, and of course, you can find all of the great products at BioStar. You go to BioStarUS.com. And Tigger joins us every single month, so if you missed the past couple of episodes, head on over to horsesinthemorning.com and just give a search for the Kim Baker episodes, and you'll find all of Tigger's good advice and information on there. Thank you so much for joining us again this month.
And up next is our special guest, Dr. Tiffany Margolin. She is going to talk about holistic care and what that really means for our pets. She's also going to talk about how you can help your pets cross over, which is a tough time during the holidays. We tend to remember the loved ones that are no longer sitting at the table with us, and that includes our furry friends as well. Well, hi, Dr. Tiffany. Welcome to the Kim Baker Show on Horses in the Morning. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
So you have been a veterinarian for over 25 years, and you specialize in exotic pet and holistic medicine. So tell us exactly what holistic care for pets really means.
Great question. You know, it can be very confusing. First of all, I actually practice something called integrative medicine, which brings the best of all worlds together. I came from a very medical background. My family's a family of doctors. And as I grew into medical, you know, into the veterinary field, I found that we just would hit a wall with what we could offer people. So I started studying with people that did other types of healing in terms of Chinese medicine, acupuncture, herbal therapies. My favorite is actually nutritional therapy because you get to use food as medicine. And like, you know,
right. That
saying goes, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food, my favorite thing. And the body has so many ways to actually be turned on to heal yourself, and the animal's bodies do the same. So it actually brings in the ideas of Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. I actually do chiropractic as well. So that holistic is really the whole animal, the whole being brought into the equation.
I love that. I love that. We have an expert that's on the show as well. Tigger, she is the formulator for BioStar US, and she's all about, you know, the food. The food is the medicine and the type of food and the different properties. And so I think that's great. And that's what I love about holistic stuff, too, is it's not that you throw out all the traditional stuff. It's that, for me, that you blend it. You take the best of both worlds, and you work with the individual, right? I, you have worked with so many different animals. What works for one cat might not work for the next cat, right?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, that's the key to medicine that's so important. There's something, I'm a certified health coach through integrative nutrition as well, and they have a saying about bio-individuality. It's just so key to remember that, you know, each individual is truly different. You could literally have a family of people or animals, and one has heart problems, and one has no problems, and one has allergies. And so there's something called epigenetics, which is really hot right now, where you study how to keep genes that are bad turned off and turn on the stuff that is good for you. So people, you know, don't have to be controlled by their genetic blueprint. It is really important that you know, if you can test for that, what you're predisposed to, like Angelina Jolie. And in my family, we have the same, you know, problems with some of the genetics. But you can pick foods and herbs and things that will help suppress genes that can be problematic. I love to study that. That's my favorite thing.
It is great. I've heard, too, because I work with a chiropractor for myself with my own healing, and that there are many people of the belief that you can actually change your DNA. You can rewrite your DNA. So if you are, you know, predisposed to heart disease or diabetes or something like that that's in your family, that you can work through, you know, using exactly what we're talking about, the right foods and, you know, body systems with structure, and then working on the emotional piece as well, because I believe that's a big factor, too. And basically, you know, rewrite your DNA that, you know, just because three people in your family died of heart attacks doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah, that's really interesting about the emotion. You know, the more I learned about Chinese medicine, the more important the emotion becomes in terms of directing some of your health. And you could eat as well as you possibly could. You could take the best herbs, do homeopathy. But if you're not watching your emotional life, your lifestyle choices and levels of stress and cortisol, you know, as a medical doctor, veterinarian, you know, I'll go back to the Western medicine as well to make it make sense. And cortisol, no matter what else you're doing, if you're chronically secreting a lot of cortisol or a lot of insulin, those will have an impact on the health you're trying to gain because they can negate that. So it's all, again, it's all a mixture, and it has to do with so many aspects. One of the nice things with human-animal bond, and the reason that I cross back and forth, because, you know, holistic medicine does not distinguish between animals and people, is that
right.
Animals help us heal, and we actually help them heal. I mean, you know, we are the portal for them to get medical care, too. It's not like it's only one direction.
Absolutely, and I love that you brought that up. We were just speaking with a lady a little earlier on the show for an off-the-track thoroughbred that she rescued, and
yes.
that, you know, 3 years it was, you know, struggle, and the horse wanted to kill her, and, you know, I mean, being dramatic here, but, you know, it's working through that, and now, you know, they have this beautiful, beautiful relationship, and the horse is so happy, and they just went fox hunting for the first time, and it really was truly amazing to see, you know, the evolution. And so I agree with what you're saying, that it works both ways. It's a two-way street, right?
Yeah, and, you know, horses, I mean, are absolutely deep, heartfelt passion of mine, and I didn't go into equine medicine because I wanted to love and ride and work with them rather than work on them and be, you know, so immersed that I never got a chance to appreciate them. So I love them as beings. And, you know, they're really teachers. And, you know, I know you have a focus with horses. I rescued my horse. He came from a neglected background. But it's really interesting because the more I connect with them and the more I realize how healing they are, the more I think that they're portal to, like, source and, you know, spiritually speaking, they really open people up. And I feel like as you're explaining how she developed that relationship and settled the horse down, I can almost guarantee you that a horse taught her how to do it. That was how she learned some new techniques. And she's probably better with people now, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting is the work that she does. She works with Glenn Schwartz with drug and alcohol patients, correct?
There you go. And how addled are they? You know, think about it. Here's a horse that's beyond, right? It's more of a dramatic change that you were describing. Like my horse, he was pretty emotionally healthy. He just needed some attention. But, you know, taking on that kind of a horse that you're talking about, I admire, because there's so much more work. And it's like the drug or the, you know, the addiction that she's working with. She's working with chemical issues and people that are really have a lot of patience to bring them back on track. So imagine that horse probably was essential for her to help with what she does.
Absolutely. And we talked about that too, that, you know, that she was giving her kudos for listening, you know, and that the horse was guiding her through.
Yeah, and they'll tell you exactly what you're doing right and wrong. And all animals will. You know, another subject of mine that I'm, again, really passionate about is anxiety in our pets. You know, Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now and some of his stuff, he mentions that if you want to study neuroses in animals, you have to look to the pets. You can't find it in the wild because they get their neuroses from us. And,
right.
You know, it could make you feel bad initially, but when you think about it, they're great mirrors. And if you really pay attention,
yes.
I have people talking about their pet's anxiety, and I get to counsel the entire family. You know, it's like, okay, let's sit down and let's look at you. And I've learned through time and connection and compassion that people can hear you if you speak a certain way about it. And then they really start observing their own behaviors, and their pets are better. There are things that are chemical. Even let's just say if it began as a behavior problem, maybe at a certain point I have to help the animal with some chemical, you know, some medication, and then we can wean them off of it as we get some behavioral modification. I'm not going to say that I never use medications, but I only use them in tandem with getting to what they call the root cause. And Chinese medicine,
right.
You know, it's so essential to get to the root cause. And actually, sometimes you have to work through the layers of the other things. You have to treat the less important things in order to find the root cause. So it all goes hand in hand. Nothing is bad or wrong. And I even tell people that bitch about their, you know, regular vets when they come to me, I say, look, I wasn't there at the beginning. They may have had to do those things in order to get to uncover this thing that you're talking to me about today, you know?
So the person that drinks 25 cups of coffee a day, their horse is going to be a little excited and upset.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. You know, we could talk about coffee. There's a great faction, you know, there's just this sort of division, right, between people that say it's good for you and how much they fight for it, and then people that say it's so bad for you. And again, we're down to bio-individuality. You know, forget the pets. For people, sometimes coffee is great. It could be liver protective, you know, against cancers and cirrhosis. Or for other people, it's absolutely loopy, and they get palpitations, and, you know, and it can change in your lifetime. Same idea.
Well, and it all comes down to that moderation thing, too. You know, it's like 2 cups a day, you're probably fine. 25, you're probably not.
Yeah, it does. Although, again, some people, they can't touch a drop of caffeine. And some animals, right. You never want to. You don't want to give animals caffeine unless they're ADHD, and it's really hard to tell.
I have one of those.
I'll tell you what. Right.
He is too.
Okay, what is it? A yellow lab? A labradoodle? What do you got that's manic?
Yeah.
Right. Which one? Well, yeah. Dr. Tiffany, what's our, because I think that's huge, and I talk about that a lot, that, you know, animals are mirrors, and sometimes we don't like the reflection that we see. And so we really have to. What's that, yeah. Glenn?
I didn't say anything. I just laughed.
The human condition. Well, you know.
So,
yes.
So, what are some of the signs that an animal is in distress?
This is a great question. It's really weird. You must be a person communicator too, because I was just thinking about the book that I'm generating. I'm writing, which is called "Goodbye, My Angel," and it's about, you know, how to help an animal, how to determine if they're suffering, and ultimately sometimes how to make the decision that you need to stop. But, you know, we talk a lot to people about how do you just tell if your animal isn't feeling good. And so, yes, they're silent, but they're not without signs. So some
exactly.
of the things I tell people, yeah, let's talk about cats for a minute, because we always talk about dogs and we always talk about the more obvious things. Let's talk about the silent ones, like the cats and the birds, the animals that really hide their problems, the rabbits. One of the things you want to get to know is your animal's normal postures and vocalizations. So normal cat, normal rabbit, normal guinea pig even. How are they behaving when they're young? Okay. Usually they're really enthusiastic about life. They live in the moment. They look like a dog that's excited. They'll run around. They jump in the air. Guinea pigs do this thing called popcorning, where they actually jump up in the air and they kick out, and rabbits do some things, and there's all sorts of fun stuff. So, you know, my cat is insane. He'll go from one side of the room to the top of the bookcase. So
right.
when you want to look for signs of distress, in cats, sometimes the only change you'll see is that they're not moving around as much or they're hiding more. With cats, a lot of times they'll start hiding. The other thing you can notice if they're having a specific problem, like a urinary tract problem or a stress problem, is that they'll start, which everybody loves this one, is they'll start going outside the box. And, you know, that's like,
right.
That'll bring you to the vet faster than anything, is when your cat's going outside the box. And I actually have the Pet Minute is my little vignette series. I have it on YouTube, and it's called the Pet Minute. It talks about reasons why cats could be doing that. You want to look for the physical first, not just get mad. And then the other thing is stressors that can result in physical illness. Like if there's an outside cat or animal that's stressing your cat out, they will manifest it. They can be stressed, but then it can also become physical. Women that are under stress with their immune system, they can turn from getting stressed to having a bladder infection, you know. So
right.
The other thing cats can do that is really subtle and can be signs of heart disease, which is more common than people realize, is they can, when they're not moving as much, they'll breathe harder. And people won't notice that because they just think the cat's laying around more. But you really want to look at your cat's breathing pattern. You want to notice this with all of your animals, your small mammals, your dogs, but your cats, your birds, and your small mammals. You really want to watch what is their normal breathing pattern, because those are the things that can change initially without you noticing them. Also, with birds, you want to watch for vocalization changes. A lot of times birds are very verbal. I mean, that's their thing. And so if you notice your bird is quieter than normal, that's the first sign of actual illness. You don't want to wait till he's, you know, fluffing or at the bottom of the cage. That's really critical. So those are some of the signs. Now, in terms of pain with a dog and a cat, things like that, a lot of times what they'll do, they'll move less, they'll tremble, or they'll just not jump as much. Let's say if it's back pain or leg pain, the cats will lay on their chest. So instead of laying around on their side and flopping over, they'll actually lay more like straight up and down and hunched. And you want to look for those subtle changes, because that's actually pain. People say, well, my dog, his leg's not hurting even though he's limping because he's not making any noise. I say, well, when you're limping, doesn't that mean your leg hurts? I mean, are you always worrying about it? You know, maybe some of you, but the truth of the matter is when they're moving differently, they're in pain. They're just not talking about it. So those are those signs, yeah.
Absolutely. One question, though, with cats that are more upright, isn't it true that if they're cold, they'll put their legs underneath them and they'll kind of...
This is what a cat will do when it's cold. Want to hear? A cat does what I do when I'm cold. It curls in a ball. So if you think about when you're on your side and you curl up to get warmer, that's what cats do. They curl up on their side. If you know how they curl up in a tight ball, look at dogs. They do the same thing. When dogs are cold, they curl tighter in a ball, and they'll get up against things, obviously, that are warm if they can. But they don't tend to do it vertically. The vertical position is something else is going on. So there's discomfort somewhere. You want to check in on that.
Is that always true?
I've been in the veterinary field and as a technician and a vet for over 30 years. In my experience, it is. Sorry.
Oh, well, I'm just asking because, you know, my cats were barn cats, and in March, a coyote got the sister, and it was unfortunate.
Oh,
but
horrible.
The other one, he's now an indoor cat, and that's just another story for another time. But I would see them, they would both, you know, they're not laying down, but they're just kind of like, you know, they're vertical. But they're laying over their legs and stuff. I would see when it was cold. And,
well, the other
and
thing
I,
that could be, would they do, are they doing it with each other or separately? Let me ask you that question.
When they were doing it or?
Yeah, separately or with each other. Like, in other words, are they in this next to each other doing that, or were they separate in different locations doing that?
I would both.
Okay.
I would see both. They would be together on a heating, because in the barn I would have a heating pad for them, so obviously there wasn't enough room, so then they would be right next to each other, and that was the best way to do it. But I would also see them just separately, you know, and now he's coming in to talk, see them separately do it.
Okay, so they always know. You know, cats are psychic, right? You know, they know exactly when we're talking about them.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, they know everything. But one thing about it, okay, so you actually said a few things that made sense. There was a patch, right, of warmth that they were trying to get to. So there'll definitely be a change in position for that. The other thing is that cats that have to be a little more hypervigilant, they're little watch cats, like barn cats, they're going to be more, that's a more vigilant position, the upright.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, that's good that you mentioned that, because it brings to mind the mental versus the physical. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily physically something's wrong. It could be some alertness that wouldn't normally be present that when they're in full relaxation. I guess that's another way to put it,
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And then let's talk a minute about the suffering of the suffering, where we're really talking about an animal that is going to a place where they can't return. And you know, so many times, I think I offer an at-home crossing over service where I help people. I use an animal communicator. I also use bereavement counselor to help people understand if it's time, you know, talk to them about it. I talk to them about it, quality of life assessment. And one of the things is people have told me that they waited too long a lot of times with a previous pet, or they did too much. And, you know, when I was out as a veterinarian, I never really knew that until later, and people were sharing that with me. And I think it's so critical now. I used to feel bad telling people, you know, it might be time. Now I feel like we've got to give this gift to both the animal and the person. And I do tell people, the other day I was talking to a gentleman, he's having a really hard time, and I think men in general can have a harder time even than women, because they don't have anywhere to put their feelings. Society doesn't give them an option. And so, you know, in talking to them, a lot of times they feel like, you know, they're going to be bad or wrong. And I just remind them that look at how many gifts this animal has given you during its lifetime. This is kind of like the only gift we can really give them, a big one, that they can't give themselves without suffering. And so, you know, and yeah, so it's a big thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. And my cat was eating my leg, so that, and he's got very sharp claws. So that was my response there, was not to you, it was to head to sharp claw, digging into my thigh. But yeah. No, I agree with you completely. And I hear that a lot too. You know, people, it's, you know, they waited too long, or did they make the right decision? Because sometimes it comes down to, it's like this emergency situation and they need to make a choice, and they're like, did I do the right thing? And
yeah,
so they want to know that. And yeah.
You know, again, that's one of the reasons I built Goodbye My Angel. And it's, I'm also writing that book right now, Goodbye My Angel, because what's happening is I'm getting even these post situations, like you're saying, where afterwards the urgency is passed and they go, oh my God, I need to know if I did the right thing. And sometimes these people don't necessarily need a bereavement counselor. They might need an animal communicator. They need someone to channel and say that their pet says it's okay. Like, it's weird, but it's true. And I've had a couple of people just put at ease. Somebody wanted to get a new bird and she was so racked with the feeling around her bird that had already passed. And she just really needed help in that regard. So really, there's nothing that's out of bounds as far as my experience goes. You know, people need what they need. And grieving is a personal, individual process. And the grieving begins before, by the way. Most people don't realize, and I did this too, the grieving begins when you begin to see the signs that your animal is slowing down and you're facing the concept that this pet is going to need to pass. My animal communicator, who I needed, even as a vet, I needed her because I was too close to my own dog. And I said, I really need you to tell me more because I know only the physical stuff and I feel like, you know, I have to balance this in my decision and I don't want it to go too long. And so she said she will tell you, she'll give you a look. So I finally had made the decision and it was a beautiful experience and I had people there and we got her flowers and we gave her lunch meat. And after, you know, everything had gone beautifully and my little angel had passed, I thought back about it the next week or so and I realized for one whole week, every night, she had been just giving me this fixed, intense stare from her bed in the living room, and I had completely not even made the connection. It took me a week to figure that out. The one thing you got to remember is these animals just, they don't hold anything against us. So if you wait longer because you need to, or if you do it a certain way, or you do it before, you know, they're all the way down or something, it's important to realize how accepting and in the moment they are. They're so much better than we are around the subject of death. One of the beautiful things that one of my friend told me, she suggested that, you know, because I said it's so hard to say goodbye to these animals in their shorter lifespans, and you have to say goodbye a lot of times more than once, you know, to some of your most loved furry friends. And she said, you know, well, maybe their lifespans are shorter so that they can show us a life that's fully lived, you know, before we waste ours. In other words, they can show us how to live life. We see a snapshot and we get to decide how we want to live life. And I thought that's a really, really beautiful way to look at it.
So, Dr. Tiffany, where can people find out more about you and when your book is going to come out and things like that?
Well, as my website is developing, I'm going to give them drtiffany.com, really easy, drtiffany.com. And there's also a phone number there. And so they can find everything they need to know about contacting me at drtiffany.com and look for my book called Goodbye, My Angel.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you for the lovely work that you do for the animals and the humans. Appreciate it very much.
We're going to take a little mental break here for us. And we're going to play a song called You Inspire Me by Stephanie Quayle, who's a horse girl. And we're going to be right back with more show here on the Kim Baker episode of Horses in the Morning.
When I think back to the first time you told me what you planned to do, that confident smile and the light in your eyes inspired me to. You took one step forward, and you knew the rest was up to you.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here on the Kim Baker episode. And of course, I have Kim with me. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by BioStarUS.com.
And our next guest is Sandra Bidkin, and she is going to share with us the power of gratitude, personal transformation, and 5 minutes to happiness. So welcome, Sandra, to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Kim. I'm very excited about talking with you today.
Well, thank you, and because we love hearing your accent, tell us where you're from.
I'm from a little town in Australia called Geelong, which is very near Melbourne, and it's a fabulous town, but right now I'm lucky enough to be living in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, how's the weather out there?
Incredible. I've just been for a walk on the beach and a swim in the water, and I don't want to make you all feel envious, but yes.
49 states of our listeners are now mad at you. You know that.
Well, you know, when we decided to come to America to launch this personal transformation business, we didn't know where we were going to live, and we got off the plane and we got ourselves to Manhattan Beach, which was only 10 minutes from the airport, and we were in love.
And you stayed.
Honestly, fabulous. A fabulous place.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Sandra, tell us a little bit. I mean, you and I connected. We met in New York along with your husband, Daniel, And we just, you know, we're both energy workers, light workers. So, I mean, we connected instantly. And it's very powerful what you guys are doing. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because there's so much that we can learn. I think that this really is a time that people are growing a lot spiritually, and that they do need to transform their lives. And, you know, this is a perfect time right before Thanksgiving too, right? The power really of gratitude is huge. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the power of gratitude.
Well, gratitude is such an amazing thing. It really changes us energetically. And I know that you understand this and a lot of your listeners do, but whatever you focus on, that's actually what you become. And if you're grateful for what you have in your life, then you have more of that, of what you're grateful for. I mean, I'll just give you a little example of somebody who's not operating out of gratitude. If somebody always says, oh, I can't believe this, the weather's terrible, everybody hates me, and you know what's going to happen? They're on a vibration and an energy frequency where people are going, oh my goodness, she doesn't like herself. And they start hating her too, or him for that matter. So gratitude is something that changes the frequency that we're operating on. And it completely changes the way we can manifest our heart's desires and more importantly, the best version of ourselves. You know, if we're grateful for the way we look, no matter what that is, if we're grateful for what we've got rather than what we haven't got, other people really pick up on the fact that you are happy. Because isn't grateful another word for being happy?
Yeah, it is. I never thought about it that way, but it is, because you're happy with what you have, what you're doing.
Yeah, it just makes perfect sense to me. And happy people don't get as sick as unhappy people. Happy people are really, they spread happiness and joy, and that's what this world needs more of. By the way, I was listening to your show and talking about the animals, and Daniel and I were discussing the wonderful work that you do with the animals and with the horses, and you realize that when people become the best version of themselves, and they really tap into their own higher awareness, when they transform their lives on that level, they can equate with their animals. They can help their animals much more than what they could if they're not being the best version of themselves. You know, platinum is the password that we're using in our books, and that stands for peace, love, awareness, trust, integrity, neutrality, unity, and mindfulness. Now, can you imagine if all of us decided, okay, I'm going to live a platinum life, I'm going to put all of those things into place, every animal in your life, by the way, automatically, energetically gets that frequency, and that animal's life improves. So, I mean, I just love what you're doing, but I really love the way we can blend this personal transformation work into our animals, our horses, our cats, our dogs, everything.
Absolutely, and it's very interesting that you mentioned that. So a couple months ago, I moved, and it was very, very stressful. And one of my dogs started acting out. In fact, he chewed a hole in the carpet. I mean, he's an 8-year-old dog, and he chews a hole in the carpet. And I'm thinking, okay, and I knew that I was stressed, and I had conversations with them, and I'm like, okay, this is my stuff. Let me deal with it. I don't want, because a couple of my animals really try to help me and take my stress for me. And it's like, no, not your job. I need you guys to be healthy, because then they would get sick. And it's like, oh, then that stresses me out more. So we were, you know, working on this. But it was very clear that by chewing a hole in the carpet, okay, we have a problem. So it's like,
well, he was mirroring you, really, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so how can I shift, and what is it that he's telling me that he needs? So he's very insecure. He's a border cattle dog. And very ADD as well, super, super smart. And it's like, okay, what is it? So I'm looking at myself. This has kind of been the theme today as well, is the reflection in the mirror. All right, let's look at me. What's going on with me? How can I shift? And what is it that he needs? Because they do still need individual things. And I totally shifted more of having that gratitude of being like, oh my God, yes, this is totally different from where we were living on a horse ranch to now we're living in a townhouse in the middle of the city. But how can I embrace this in a good way, in a positive way, and be thankful that, oh my God, I have, you know, a roof over my head, and I have this space, and we're all together, and we're still, and just these little shifts, and I see the shift in the animals.
Exactly. That's going to happen every time. I mean, I saw this beautiful, beautiful strawberry blonde girl in the shop, and she had this strawberry blonde dog in her hands, and the dog started sneezing. And she said to me, oh, he doesn't have a cold. He's just got allergies. And I said, oh, yeah, they're the same as yours, aren't they? And the look of shock on her face, and she said, well, they are, actually. They are the same as mine. And so the dogs, our animals really pick up on where we are, how unhappy or happy we are. And if you're happy, Kim, and you're loving and coming from that, living that platinum life, no matter how smart and intelligent and ADD that dog is, it's going to pick up on the fact that the person that that dog loves the most is finding peace in their life. Therefore, it's safe for them to do the same thing.
What Kim hasn't told you is how many holes she ate in the carpet.
I figured that, because when she was describing the dog, I said, oh, Kim, that sounds like you.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me ADD, okay.
I said apart from the ADD. You know, gorgeous, intelligent, super smart.
The thing is that, so I have two sets of animals that they're complete opposites if you look at them. And I was thinking about this the other day, as I was eating lunch, sitting on my couch, and I'm like, why are they so different? Why are two of them like so challenging and super sensitive and insecure? And then the other two are strong, very secure, mellow, grounded, down to earth. And it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, because they're reflecting both sides. It's like I have both of these pieces, because I do have, you know, it may not sound like it, I'm doing radio show and whatnot, yeah. And being media and being in the limelight, but everybody's insecure on some level. And so it's like these are just, they're just reflecting that and how much I can learn from them.
And actually, performers are more insecure than most people. We basically have two sides to us. You know, it's the old Johnny Carson thing. He hated being in public when he was off stage. He hated parties. He hated dealing with people. He was very insecure. And I'm somewhat that way, too. I really have to concentrate and work. I have to work at it when I go out in public, and most people would know that. But you're the same way, too. I mean, that's just part of our personalities. They're almost dual personalities, what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I see it, too, because the first time that I was in New York in April for this media summit where Sandra and I met, I got called up on stage, and I wasn't prepared. I was in my mode of just sitting in the back of the room and observing like I do, because I love to people watch and take everything in. And then it was all of a sudden I had to be on stage and tell who I was and what I do. And I'm like,
And yeah, but you did a great job.
I did okay, you know.
Yeah, you did.
And then when Sandra and I met in October, it was different, because I knew I was going to be on. And so it's flipping that switch for me of mm-hmm. going from, you know, this shy person to, okay, now when I'm prepared, I can flip it and be like, okay, now I can stand out and be a little bit different. So, mm-hmm. So Sandra, tell us about this 5 minutes to happiness, because one thing, and I've seen it, we've all seen it, right? Somebody's having a rough day, and sometimes a stranger will just walk by you, and they smile at you, and you can feel that kind of vibrational difference in the energy, and then it makes you smile, and you're like, oh, that feels really good. Or it's the opposite. You're walking by the person that you can tell they're not in a good mood, they're not having a good day, and you smile at them, and you want to give away some of that energy. So tell us about this 5 minutes to happiness.
Well, I think it's really important that we understand realigning ourselves with that place of peace within us will automatically bring us into a place of happiness. So there are a number of things you can do. You can sit and meditate for 5 minutes. But we've got some fabulous four questions that we ask people to ask themselves when they're feeling, you know, not so good. So if you're feeling, it's a bit like going from awful to awesome in four easy steps, right? So you ask yourself, what am I feeling? Well, obviously, I'm feeling unhappy. You know, maybe my partner's just walked out on me. I'm feeling alone and lonely. What are you focused on? And the focus is, wow, I'm not good enough. I'm alone. What do you want to feel? I want to feel loved and like I'm good enough. What focus will serve that? You know, what focus will bring that about? And that's when you change your focus to come into a place of happiness, to go from awful to awesome. And you say, I need to focus on being grateful for the love I do have in my life, even if it is only from my animals, even if it is from my family, and not focus on what you perceive you have just lost, but focus on what you have got, which really goes back to your gratitude again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. That's it, exactly. And this is very... I'm getting goosebumps because this is very personal for me as well. Just the transitions in my life that I've gone through is changing from that focus of lack to the focus of what is it that I do have and being really grateful for what I do have. And it's huge. The shift is huge.
Well, just think, if you've got a roof over your mouth and if you've got enough to eat and you've got clothes, just think about this. Everything that you could possibly need, you already have within you. Don't you think that's the most wonderful thing? Because everything that we could possibly have, I mean, if you think about us as human beings, we are love. You know, we are peace. We do have sixth sense and higher awareness. We can trust. We can, you know, when we deal with integrity, we know that we're whole and complete and people can trust us and are not afraid of us. Confidence comes really from knowing that everything you could possibly need, you have within you. And you know what? God doesn't make any mistakes. You are perfect. And that's the way that Daniel and I look at everyone. I'll just give you another perspective about some of the crazy things that we do. We say that we have that we're run by codes, and one's an ego mind code and one's a divine mind code. And of course, that divine mind code is when you absolutely do know that you are perfect and that love is your essence, and that you can always say and do the right thing at the right time. So you come to that place of peace, love, and gratitude with joy and happiness as your baseline. But the ego mind code is something where, for instance, if you've moved your home, that move definitely has triggered off a lot of stress within you. And then whatever the trigger is, like, you know, when you were tiny, maybe you moved house and it was very dramatic. So the move from the house that you've just moved from to this one now, to your townhouse, that's triggered off things in your little girl, and your little girl's acting out and your animals are reacting to her. Now, from your point of view, it could be very unconscious. You might not notice the changes that you're making, but when you feel uncomfortable, you're no longer living that platinum life. You're no longer living the best version of you. And that's when your animals pick it up. And quite frankly, that's when we all pick it up.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned, you know, the little girl or the little boy inside us. That's absolutely right. So I work with my chiropractor. I talk about going to the chiropractor a lot. And it's much more than just, you know, him adjusting my physical body. He works with it's called neuro-emotional technique, and that's it exactly. You, as a young person, you develop how you process things in your life from conception to 10 years of age is where most of it is formed. And you have these reactions to things. And like you were saying, if you were young and you moved a lot, or it was a dramatic move for whatever reason, maybe your parents got divorced or mm-hmm. something, and they lost a job, and it was very stressful. So if you have that pattern later in your life, you go back to how you responded when you were young. But you can actually clear that out of your body. And through the neuroemotional technique and with the help of a professional. And it's amazing at how much it transforms and just the healing journey of me, for example. When I was young, I was diagnosed with asthma and allergies, and I could be around horses for 2 hours. Then I would have to come home, hop in the shower, and I'd be sick the rest of the day. I couldn't breathe. And it was terrible. I mean, here I love horses, dogs, and cats, and that's what I was allergic to. And I went through all these different things and realized it's not what I'm allergic to. It's more of the emotional responses that are going on with me. And it's obviously I have cats, dogs, and horses now. That's what I do as a profession. So it's been very transformative. And you mentioned, Sandra, about everything that you have is within you, and that is so powerful, and it's really hard to understand when you're not in the place of being able to understand it. And then I'm saying this because I've been there. once you really start to realize it, you do. I mean, it's like little light bulbs going off saying, oh, yeah, you know, I can do this. I have the knowledge. I can go out and do this. But sometimes you need assistance.
Yeah, that's what Daniel and I have created, a process called the quantum neutrality process, which sounds very similar to what you're doing. But what we're saying here is that an unconscious program gets triggered by a small event or even a large event, whatever it is, and the emotions around that past event really rear up and have you reacting in a way that that is unconsciously going, and often you'll go, hang on, why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? But you still can't stop yourself. And that's this program that has you. And until you get neutral to the emotions around the event, so what we've done is we've worked out a way to very easily neutralize people's emotions. The event doesn't change, but you simply no longer have an emotional reaction around it, which means that it is never, ever triggered off in you again. And that's so exciting. I mean, because we have, if you think about the processing capacity of the brain, we have a gazillion programs running our show. And when you get neutral to the emotions, you become clearer. You become the best version of you, and that's really where we're at. And our first book in the Codebreaker Platinum series has just come out, by the way, and it's called Peace. And in it, we go through, we explain in every one of the books how people can do the quantum neutrality process, what the keys to peace are. There's so much in them, and they're tiny, tiny little books. But you know what? People don't have a biggest attention span these days. They want to read something quickly. And I don't know if you've
noticed. Yeah, she's talking about me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Kim, you've probably noticed this, but people want results and they want them quickly. They want fast and effective. And we have to work out as spiritual teachers, as personal transformation experts, how to make things faster and more effective for people. And I think that that's what we're all doing. The fact that you and I can tap into the what physicists call the zero point field, the field of infinite information, and we can tap in and discover what those events were, what the emotions are, and help people release them, it is just such a gift. Every day I am so grateful for that gift.
Well, Sandra, we are plain running out of time. What is the name of the book? Was it Peace? Your accent got me a little there.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it is. It's called Peace.
Okay.
Power Up Your Life.
Power Up Your Life.
Available on Amazon right now for $3.99.
Oh, well, that's the right price.
So yeah, that is the right price, isn't it?
And it's Sandra, and the last name is spelled BISKIND. Do you have a website as well?
We do. We have one now, but we've got a brand new one coming up in a few days, and it's called thebiskind.com.
Okay, so that would be BISKIND.
thebiskind.com.
Okay, good. And we'll put the link to that in our show notes too, and we'll also post it on Facebook today, so you'll be able to find it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Well, this has been fascinating day here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much, Sandra, for joining us, and I really could listen to your accent all day.
Well, hopefully it's more what I'm saying that you could listen to rather than the accent. And Kim, I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing in the world. I really appreciate you and what you are doing, and I'm sure everyone listening does as well.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much. And I appreciate what you guys are doing too. And I just want to add real quickly that, yes, I talk about that all the time, especially with the horses. It's a drive-through society. People want it now, but horses and animals don't work that way.
No.
So, you know, we need to slow down a little bit and smell the roses.
And Kim, you have some stocking stuffer ideas for us as well.
Well, that's right, because, you know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
That's
and the
official
day after.
Shopping season. Yes, yeah.
That's right. Official shopping season. So, for all you horse and animal people out there, which is all the listeners, of course, I've got some great stocking stuffer ideas for you. One is my Groundwork Essentials DVD. So if anybody needs to improve their relationship with their horse, and I don't care if your horse is 2 years old or 19 years old, these 7 exercises
work wonders in creating a beautiful relationship, an amazing communication system. Magic happens when you do just these 7 exercises. So you can check that out at kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. That web address again is kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. And the DVD, it's also in book format too if you would prefer that, is Groundwork Essentials, a foundation that lasts a lifetime. And I got to tell you, all my clients, and I mean, you transform these problem horses into these respectful horses, amazing horses that you can trailer load anywhere, anytime, just all kinds of great stuff. And then if you're looking for, you know, beautiful photos of nature or animals that you can give as gifts, I have those available as well because I'm also a photographer. And you can purchase prints on canvas, or you can get them as greeting cards. And I have this one amazing frosty pine cone photo, which I'll give to Jen, and we can put that up on the website as well so you can see it. It's the perfect holiday greeting card because we all want to send out those special holiday greeting cards to our special people, right? And you can find those at kimbakermedia.com and click on the gallery shop, and that'll take you to my Fine Art America site where you can purchase those. Again, that's kimbakermedia.com and click on the gallery shop, and that will give you the link on where you can get those beautiful greeting cards.
I didn't even know that you had that website. You've been holding out on us.
Yeah, it's a new one. It's I just put it up last month, actually, in October, and that's my other passion is photography and being able to tell a story through the photo. So again, being the animal's voice, not only as an animal communicator and a horse trainer, but also as a photographer.
Very good. Well, that's really cool. And of course, you can find Kim's regular website,
kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. You can also find me at kimbakeranimalcommunicator.com and kimbakermedia.com.
And, you know, I have to be honest with the listeners, we probably have the next 4 months lined up for readings. You don't have to wait that long. You know, you don't have to come on the show to get a reading. If you want to do this privately, Kim does that. So the best way to get in touch with you is through your website for a reading.
Yep, kimbakeranimalcommunicator.com. There's all kinds of information there. There's also a free book. If you want to get that, you can sign up to get the book, and it'll And then with the readings, you can find out which reading is right for you. I have all different levels based on whatever your situation might be, what type of questions you want to ask your animal.
Yeah, don't wait to get on the show because you'll have a new animal by then because it'll be that long. We have had so much response to that, and we appreciate everybody that responded.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
And, of course, you can listen to Horses in the Morning. All the past episodes that Kim has done, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and plug in Kim Baker in the search, and it'll bring up, it'll bring up all of her past episodes. And, you know, before Kim ends the show today, we want to wish everybody again a very happy Thanksgiving and remind you that we'll have a replay of our holiday buying guide on Friday, and then we'll be back here on Monday live again with Jamie. And then Kim always ends the show with...
I'd like to thank our show sponsors, which is BioStar US, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs, keeping natural horsemanship, building quality partnerships and lasting relationships from the ground up. Kim Baker, Animal Communicator, Animals Talk, I Listen, What Does Your Animal Have to Say? Like us on Facebook at The Kim Baker Show. Follow us on Twitter at Kim Baker Show. And our horse wisdom message for this month is, an attitude of gratitude reaps a plentiful bounty. Our closing prayer is, may there be peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.